You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Some of India's bought leaf factories have resumed tea processing following Monday's shutdowns. I record a few World Tea 2024 takeaways. And sustainably grown tea is nearing a quarter of global production. Plus, selling tea in grocery. When asked where they buy their tea, 89% of Canadian consumers prefer supermarkets. This number is even higher in the U.S., with 91% of shoppers buying tea in grocery stores. Grocery is a promising but difficult channel for specialty tea wholesalers. These surveys revealed that 36% of shoppers select their tea by brand, underlining the importance of brand recognition in this competitive market. T-Squared is one of those specialty grocery brands. Tea importer, blender, and wholesaler Frank Weber founded T-Square in 2013. His initial intent was to supply tea shops, hotels, and restaurants. However, his business has thrived in these sectors and expanded to 1,200 grocery and mass market outlets. Frank joins us on the podcast today to share his insights on the perils and profits of selling tea in grocery. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia tea estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee negotiated the resumption of tea processing by bought leaf factories on Wednesday, ending a three-day protest. The owners of more than 100 factories who were at a standstill during a confrontation in Assam and West Bengal agreed to accept green tea leaves from small tea growers without a maximum residue level certificate, providing immediate relief. According to the Millennium Post, the decision followed a two-hour meeting at the Jaipurgari District Magistrate's Office between the North Bengal Tea Producers Welfare Association and seven organizations representing small growers. On Monday, members of the Assam Bought Leaf Tea Manufacturers Association stopped purchasing non-certified tea leaf, leading many thousands of pluckers to halt work in the early days of the harvest. Manufacturers maintain it is the responsibility of growers to provide laboratory test results certifying that no banned chemicals or unapproved pesticides are present in the teas offered for sale. Few complied, said Krishna Prasad Sharma, secretary of the Assam Tea Growers Association. He told the Sentinel, quote, "It is impractical and not feasible for small growers from other parts of the state to bring samples Jorhat for testing." He said the Tea Board of India has not issued directions for mandatory testing and certification. the Bont Leaf factories decided to no longer purchase tea without laboratory certification, he said. He urged the tea board and the government to resolve the issue. He said workers in the Jahat district have stopped plucking green leaves for 7 days. Meanwhile, the Northeastern Tea Association declared it will not accept any green leaves without accompanying test reports from NABL-accredited labs. Business Insight. Arvinda Ananthiraman reports on this issue in greater depth in today's India Tea News. World Tea Expo 2024 was a rallying point for the North American tea community and a visible, viable option for foreign tea sellers exploring whether their products are welcome in the widely divergent U.S., Canadian, and Mexican tea markets. This year's conference was exceptional. The tea bar was lively and convenient, and the floor focused more on tea than CBD. Traditional suppliers from China returned in good numbers. Growers from Vietnam, Myanmar, and Tanzania introduced exotic origins and new styles, while mainstays from India, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Kenya, Taiwan, Germany, Japan, and South Korea encouraged sampling to enrich the experience for all. It was great seeing emerging technology at the Palmyra booth and the latest teaware and utensils on display. When presenting at World Tea Expo, I always included a few takeaways. I hope the following three stimulate constructive discussion before the March 2025 event. I'll see you there. Number one, the conference is the beating heart of the event. The boot camp and advanced retail training are finely tuned to North America's highly desirable market, and the presenters are superb. Next year, be sure to schedule and market sessions to ensure a threshold audience of 100 per session. Also, consider an open session following the keynote, a roundtable to discuss pressing topics of importance to the industry, voiced by participants with skin in the game. Growers, brokers, certifiers, retailers, importers, and buyers who are primed to say what's on their minds. Call it Clear the Air. I'd be happy to moderate. Matchups and meetups. Matchmaking separates wheat from the chaff. New software enables exhibitors to screen buyers before the event and concentrate on those with the highest sales potential, culminating in transactions rather than introductions. Meetups are just informal and fun. Consider a tea playroom for meetups where attendees with common interests can gather. Sample, sample, sample. The expanded tea bar is an excellent feature for many reasons, but sampling stands out. Encourage activities where people share a tea more readily, like at tea festivals. Tasting and discuss prize-winning teas is a perfect example. The tea bar should be jammed with activities encouraging people to mingle while drinking tea. Since booth space to sit and talk is limited, arrange seating conducive to business conversations away from the busy booths to facilitate on-site matchmaking, a matchmaking lounge. Visit the TBiz blog for more complete coverage and loads of photos. On the floor, I chatted with a dozen exhibitors during the show. Here's what they had to say.
This is Dan Bolton on the floor at World Tea Expo with Michael Harney at Harney & Sons Fine Tea. Mike, how are you? And thanks for joining us on the program.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see you, Mr. Bolton. So a pleasure. I hear you're doing a lot of traveling, which is great. So the show has been good. There's some smaller, obscure countries. There's some people from Miramar over here, which was interesting seeing their teas. But we're doing well here at the booth. The first day was very, very busy. It's a little slower. That allows us to get out and see, meet the people from Miramar, or they have a whole bunch of Chinese. So some of the Chinese people I haven't seen in a bit. So it's a good time here. And then it's part of, as you can probably hear, you know, the nightclub show, the restaurant and bar expo. So that allows us to get some rum from Puerto Rico or whatever we want.
Tell me about your company.
Oh, my dad started it 41 years ago. My brother and I were here. Paul took off today, but I'm here working hard the second day. And we're 40 years, 41 years. You know, it's gotten to be a great thing. We get some of these new people that are just getting the business. And how did it happen? I said, I have no idea. I just put one foot in front of the other. Next thing you know, we've gotten kind of a little bit bigger there, Daniel.
One of the finest tea brands in the world, without question. This is Dan on the floor at World Tea Expo. This is Dan Bolton with Tea Biz on the floor at World Tea Expo. I'm with Lars at Bethlehem and Bach. Hi, Lars.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Tell me about the show.
Show's been great so far. So for me, it's the first time here, actually. Never been here before, and I'm quite surprised by how many people came by. So yesterday was really busy. A lot of stuff to do, a lot of customers, a lot of new contacts coming by. And yeah, today's also nice. Meeting a lot of interesting people and also seeing some suppliers, some customers. So yeah, so far, really liked it.
Tell me a little about your company.
So our company is based in Hamburg, Germany. We started out in Germany in 1836, so quite a long history. And yeah, we do orthodox teas, so without flavoring. We do fruit teas, herbal teas, with or without flavoring. All the blending, all the teas are imported into Germany, Hamburg, in our main office. That's where we do the blending, the packaging. And then we have a subsidiary here in the US, our Chicago office, which are responsible for the US customers, for the Latin American customers. And yeah, everything they need, we ship over here. And yeah, we are focused on specialty teas, loose leaf qualities. We also do a lot of accessories, which we import ourselves, some coffee as well on the side. So yeah, a lot of business.
Thank you so much. This is On the Floor with Dan Bolton at World Tea Expo. This is Dan Bolton on the floor at the tea vendor booth with Bob and Shaw. Tell us about the show, Bob.
Well, so far we've had a pretty good show. A lot of foot traffic on day one. Day two was a little bit slower, but definitely a lot of good foot traffic on day one. Met a lot of existing customers, met some potential new customers. We've done something a little bit different with our booth this year, where we're trying to promote our new platform, Tea Vendor. So the way I would describe Tea Vendor is, think of it as a marketplace for B2B that people can go to for tea. And so as part of that, we're promoting some of the brands that are going to be launched on teavendor.com. Young Mountain Tea, which is doing Kamalan tea. That's the region of India in the north. We have Just Tea, that's bringing in teas from Nandi Hills in Kenya. So those are just some examples of brands that that will be...
What a great concept. A marketplace of tea and single origin, high quality teas that have not just a reputation for quality with your company, but all of the convenience and logistical benefits of a larger, well-established firm. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Thank you.
This is Dan Bolton on the floor at World Tea Expo. I'm with Jay Shree Tea. And Vishal, tell me about the show.
Hi, all. This is a very nice show, and we keep coming every year. For last 2 years, we are taking booth because we think that US is an upcoming market. It's gradually turning from a coffee drinking nation to a tea drinking nation, and we are very excited for the same. And for the future also, we will keep on coming, and hopefully our business grows in US. Yeah, so Jay Shree Tea is one of the largest tea producing companies in India, having tea plantations in Assam, Darjeeling, Duas, Terai. And all our Assam tea estates are RA certified, and Darjeeling are all RA certified, and one estate in, namely Rishihat, is organic as well as fair trade. So our products are very niche, and they cater well to the US market. We produce very good orthodox and CTC teas during second flush, and our Darjeeling first flush and second flush is just too good.
Thank you so much, Vishal Shah, with General Manager of Jay Shree. This is On the Floor with Dan Bolton at World Tea Expo 24 in Las Vegas. I'm with Stan
Van Schoenland.
Help me, how's the show?
The show is great. I would say it seems much bigger than last year, much more people and booths on the presentations. I went to an excellent presentation on tea flavoring from William Dietz. Very nice how he introduced the different concepts of flavor, artificial flavoring, natural flavors, and how to incorporate that in your business.
Excellent. Now, you're not from around here. You traveled to the show from?
Belgium, Europe.
Tell me a little about your company.
I have a company, Cruz, in Belgium, and it's a coffee and tea business. I roast my own coffees, and I make my own tea blends, and I give presentations on tea and chocolate pairing, and on tea and artificial intelligence.
Thank you so much for joining us on the floor at World Tea Expo. Now, just take a sec. This is Dan Bolton on the floor at World Tea Expo at the Sugimoto Tea Booth, and I'm with Noli.
Hello, yes, this is Noli Ergas. Yes, my name is Noli Ergas. I've been with Sugimoto Tea coming on 11 years now. Really grew to love tea as a part of my daily life while living in Japan, which I did for 2.5 years. And then I came back and wanted to work with a Japanese company, use my Japanese language and culture knowledge. And Sugimoto Tea happened to be hiring when I returned to Seattle.
Tell me a little about your show. How was your show?
The show? Well, the show has been, I will say, the traffic has been a little lighter than last year and the year before, which I think might be because there's a lot more pure, true tea here at the show, at the World Tea Expo, compared to some recent years. So I think people have a lot more choices, and I'm glad that they're still choosing us, but they also have a lot more like teas from China and teas from other parts of Japan to choose from now as well.
Tell me about your company.
Yeah, Sugimoto Tea Company has been making tea in Japan since 1946 in the aftermath of the last World War. A lot of Japanese people were trying to figure out life again. And my boss's grandfather started making tea in Shizuoka. And they've been making tea there for the last 77 years now. And we started, my boss came to Seattle from Japan in about 2005. And since then, we've just been a conduit to bring the tea that's made from the Sugimoto family into the U.S. and then distributing it out through the Americas.
Thank you so much. This is Dan on the floor at World Tea Expo. We're on the floor with Tim Smith from?
The Tea Smith in Omaha, Nebraska.
Tell me about the show.
This is, I think, our 20th show that we've been to, and it's absolutely fascinating to see how it's developed over the years. This year, I was particularly impressed with the educational offerings. Many of the presenters were from outside of the normal presenters outside of the U.S. So the really good viewpoints and some great subject matter expertise. The show itself has got some really good exhibits. Again, a lot of new people that have not been here, some great new booths. And of course, after being here for 20 years, it's a true pleasure to be with my friends again. The Tea Smith, we started that 20 years ago. So we've been drinking on the job ever since. And we are a retailer and a wholesaler and a flavorer of teas to tea shops, coffee shops, and fine dining. So we have a wonderful time with blending our teas. And at a given time, we've got about 200 to keep us busy.
Thanks so much for joining Tea Biz on the floor at World Tea Expo.
The International Institute for Sustainable Development has released its latest global report titled Tea Prices and Sustainability. The 40-page report, available free, provides detailed insights into production and pricing. According to the report, quote, tea production complying with voluntary sustainability standards, known as VSS, reached 24.8% of total production in 2019, but dropped slightly to 24% in 2021, end quote. The pandemic accelerated the shift in tea harvesting towards mechanization. Labor costs for hand plucking soared, pushing producers to mechanize their operations will face bankruptcy, according to the report, which cited the work of TeaCraft founder Nigel Melican. Around 70% of the global tea bushes are now harvested by machines or some form of mechanical aid, such as hand shears, up from 5% in 1980. In 2019, approximately 1 million sustainably compliant farmers produced 1.67 million metric tons of VSS-compliant tea, with a farm gate value exceeding $155 million. An increase of 300,000 metric tons over the previous year. The most prominent certifications in the sector include Rainforest Alliance, Certified Organic, Fair Trade, and UTZ, which has since become a part of Rainforest Alliance. Rainforest Alliance generated 1.3 million tons of sustainably produced tea in 2021, Organic certified 368,000 metric tons. From 2008 to 2019, conventional tea production grew at a combined annual rate of about 1.1%. VSS-compliant production grew at a combined annual growth rate of nearly 30% during the same period, but has since slowed to between 12 and 13% during the period 2014 to 2019. Business Insight. The report includes a 10-page dive into tea prices that undermines the case for value addition at origin and efforts to shift the sector towards sustainability. IDII warns of troubling trends. Quote, tea auction prices in real terms, for example, have been declining for four decades, with strong drops in the past 3 years due to pandemic-related disruptions to logistics. Prices fell to an all-time low in 2020 due to a combination of low global demand and oversupply in the market, end quote. The report cited Kenyan tea farmers who receive about 16% of the final price at auction, equal to 30 cents per kilo of green tea leaf delivered. Producers' prices in Asian countries, including Sri Lanka and Vietnam, have been slightly higher, averaging 40 cents per kilo. However, in India and Nepal, the average falls to 16 cents per kilo, which is insufficient to cover production costs. Download the report at www.iisd.org or visit the TBiz blog. Next, Arvinda and Intharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
This is India Tea News for the week ending 5th April 2024. We have news from across the country this week. In Assam, the Assam Botleaf Tea Manufacturers Association, or ABLTMA, has stopped production and have not been accepting green leaf as of April 1st. The association's 110 members oppose mandatory auctions, emphasizing compliance with the Food Safety and Standards Authority of India norms. The association has claimed a higher price realization when selling directly to buyers and have questioned the tea board's decision. Now, FSSAI discovered high non-compliance rates after its labs were ordered to test samples from a large pool of factories. The government mandate to sell 100% of dust-grade teas at auctions followed. In direct and auction sales, buyers assume responsibility for determining the tea's safe consumption. Testing for compliance with FSSAI thresholds for 33 chemicals is more rigorous at auction than in direct transactions. In Assam, the botleaf factories are the state's primary producer. A single botleaf factory may source from upwards of 400 small tea growers via an agent. The problem lies in two parts. One, there is no single list of chemicals disallowed and allowed. There's FSSAI and the Plant Protection Code. Each have a set of permissible chemicals. Second, small tea growers are not aware of the problem of chemical usage and the need for compliance with prescribed chemicals, and this necessitates a lot of education at the grassroots. One botleaf owner called for a ban on the disallowed chemicals in the state, which he says would address the issue to some extent. However, what's banned for tea may be allowed for other crops, so this is not possible. So this raises a question of why tea is under the spotlight right now. bottle factory owners also say that chemical testing is impossible at the factory level. And even if tests were done here and the chemicals exceeded FSSAI thresholds or PPC thresholds, it will be difficult or impossible to trace the contaminated tea to its source. In any case, no infrastructure is available for checks at this stage, and that's first needed. Following the call to stop production, the Assam state government has intervened and stakeholders expect a resolution soon. The factory managers also, the factory owners also say they are committed to processing compliant tea, but add that it needs to be enforced by the tea board at the grower level, and that the concerns with compliance are not limited to bottle factories alone, because many estates also procure green leaf from small tea growers. In the south, it's time again for the Golden Leaf Awards. Upasi and Tea Board announced the 19th edition of the Golden Leaf competition. The theme for the year is TGLIA Teas for Markets. 124 teas have been received from 38 factories across South India, covering the regions of Nilgiris, Wayanad, Annamalais, High Ranges, and Travancore. The first tasting took place on March 30th at Kunur. Details of the final round have not yet been announced, although we now know that the competition's teas will be auctioned on April 22nd. And in West Bengal, 2024 being election year, with polls coming up, Darjeeling planters are asking the centre to intervene and rescue the tea industry from its current crisis. The region has a significant bank of voters from the tea growers community, and they expect to be heard. The North Bengal Hill constituency of Darjeeling is grappling with fast-changing political equations already. Leaders are switching allegiances, parties are receiving support from unexpected quarters. But then again, the political landscape in the constituency has always been tumultuous. Regional forces have always played a deciding role in sealing the fate of national party candidates amid the overriding sentiment of separate statehood demand. And this year too, Raju Bista has been given a party ticket to retain the seat he won in 2019 by a landslide margin of 4 lakh, of over 400,000 votes. The BJP, incidentally, has won the constituency since 2009.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pods or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack, steep simply and conveniently.
When asked where they buy their tea, 89% of Canadian consumers say they prefer supermarkets. This number is even higher in the U.S., with 91% of shoppers buying their tea in grocery stores. Grocery is a promising but difficult channel for specialty tea wholesalers. These surveys also revealed that 36% of shoppers select their tea by brand, underlining the importance of brand recognition in this competitive market. Tea Squared is one of those specialty grocery brands. Tea importer, blender, and wholesaler Frank Weber founded T-Squared in 2013. His initial intent was to supply tea shops, hotels, and restaurants. However, his business has thrived in these sectors and expanded to 1,200 grocery and mass market outlets. Frank joins us on the podcast to share his insights on the perils and profits of selling tea in grocery. Frank Weber trained as a chef at the prestigious Hotel Management School in Bavaria, Germany. He owned and operated restaurants before he became one of Canada's pioneers in specialty tea retail, co-founding the Tea Emporium in Toronto in the year 2000. The tea chain expanded rapidly and profitably in malls. Loblaw's flagship store at Maple Leaf Garden even featured a loose leaf in-store concept. Frank also supplies rare teas to culinary establishments and is known as one of North America's top food service consultants. Grocery shoppers have enormous buying power. The channel accounts for 90% of tea volume, with annual revenue in the billions, but profit margins are thin. The National Grocers Association reports shoppers believe their primary grocery store earns a net profit of 33%, an estimate wildly off target. In 2023, a year with record food price inflation, the average profit in grocery was 2.9%, toward the upper end of the historical range of 1% to 3%. T-Squared has survived in this rough-and-tumble retail environment as a top-shelf tea for over a decade. During this time, the tea brand expanded, innovated, and evolved without compromising quality. It's great to have you on the program, Frank. Will you share with our listeners worldwide what makes T-Squared such a great brand?
Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for the compliments on the company. Everything starts with quality. To me, my background was restaurant hospitality, giving service. I was a chef. It was about the ingredients and what can you do to make those ingredients perfect. And I took the same approach when it came to tea with the tea retail stores that I had. It was always about finding the best quality product and then packaging it and selling it at a reasonable price that you want to come back. When I started T-Squared, it was really no different. I mean, I have built relationships in the industry over 24 years. I've gone to source so many times. I know the teas that we're buying. I have a good relationship with all of our suppliers. And that really enabled us to know and ensure that we have a premium quality product. We then enhance those we have in our facility here. We carry about 140 different types of teas. And then we create these chai latte mixes, you know, with plant-based materials, with, you know, beet and turmeric and London fogs, and obviously a lot of matcha and things like that. But when it came to creating the brand, the quality was number one, because I always knew that I could have the most amazing packaging. But the packaging will only sell it once.
Right.
Nobody goes back to buy that beautiful tin or whatever it is on the shelf if the product was inferior or overpriced. And when I started out with T-Squared and I looked at how did we want to position, you know, our products, it had to be premium. It had to be in a packaging that I don't feel guilty about purchasing again. I didn't want to have a tin. There are companies out there that have these beautiful, elaborate tins, and the tea costs three times as much as it should because the packaging is so expensive. And then if you want to buy this once and you're going to give it, you go to somebody's house and you give this as a gift, it looks wonderful, it's great. The second time I'd like to purchase and drink this every morning at home, the second time I'm throwing out the tin, the third time I'm throwing out the tin, I'm throwing out the tin again, and I'm starting to think, this isn't really a very environmentally friendly way to do it, right? It had to hit all different types of factors. The premium quality, it had to be environmentally friendly, ethically sourced, and it had to be priced in a way that when you purchase T-Squared on the shelf and you enjoyed it, that's why you went back. But you also didn't have that hurdle that you were buying $18 for, you know, 80 grams of an Earl Grey that somebody else could provide you with at half the price. So I think those were the major factors for me. It was obviously the sustainability in the sourcing, the quality of the product, the appeal of the packaging, and then the environmentally friendly way to purchase it again.
Nathalie Bruce, CEO at Lipton Tea and Infusions, the world's largest tea brand, recently culled thousands of tea variations and flavors identified by individual stock keeping units. 8 versions of PG Tips, the company's once market-leading brand, were cut to 4. Quote, "Focusing and reducing your range is everything," end quote, she told UK magazine The Grocer. Quote, "The shelves today are polluted with SKUs that are absolutely useless," end quote.
I would agree with that. There's a lot of choice, but not everything that is out there is quality, obviously.
So let's talk about breaking into retail as a small business. How did you do that?
I've been in the tea industry for 24 years, and it was 13 years ago I decided to change the approach that I had up until then when I was in retail stores myself. I saw an opportunity in the market at the time to bring these teas, that these higher end loose leaf teas and specialty teas to mainstream retail, which is something that really did not exist at the time. I mean, when you walked in a grocery store 10 years ago, and even to some extent now, it is still hard to find a premium quality loose leaf tea or even premium quality tea bags. So at the time I set out and I started T Squared with the mission and the idea to try to bring quality loose leaf tea to a mainstream retailer. At the time, I think we were fortunate enough that other than 24 years ago when I started first in tea and I started to operate some of the retail stores and sell to the consumer myself, that was a very tough time because people did not understand the difference between quality loose leaf tea or for that matter, even between green, black and oolongs and herbals. So fast forward when I started T Squared, at that time, consumers had undergone an education process by the means of all the different tea specialty retailers that had come to the market by then, including ourselves at the time. It was a slightly easier approach. Now, having said that, selling to large grocery store chains is still a very daunting task for, I think, any manufacturer or anybody in the tea industry that is trying to take that next step, just because the business operates very different than one would think. I mean, as I started out, I thought, well, I have a great product and, you know, why wouldn't these stores want to have premium loose leaf teas if I can provide them, you know, at a great margin for them and everybody should be happy. But it took some time for me to learn all the ins and outs about the grocery store business and what that type of business needs in order to be successful. As you pointed out, 2% margins, 1-2% margins at the end of the road is what retail stores are aiming for the most part. And those are razor sharp margins. So there's very, very little room for error there. When I looked at trying to grow into this segment of the market, I put the cart before the horse, which I was told later by one of my distributors. I had a friend who got me a meeting with Sobeys, and at the time I was all ready and had my wonderful packaging, fantastic product, and had it all worked out in my head. And I went there and they looked at it and they went like, yeah, that's very nice, but no, thank you very much. And then it took a little while for me to realize, what they had to go through in order to bring on a product. Now, luckily, by making that move, I did get another appointment a few months later, and we were looking at a specialty section that they were interested in developing at the time. And so that's how I got the interest of the grocery store chains. But then trying to take the next step is very difficult because you need a distributor. In order for us to sell to a grocery store, they wouldn't accept orders shipped by us direct. They gave me a couple of names and I called them up and there was not much interest. And to the credit of distributors, and there are different... They work in different ways. The U.S. is a whole different model than Canada when it comes to distribution. A distributor in general is not going to be interested to take even the best product and the best tea in the world into their warehouse unless they are able to sell a few hundred cases next week. I got really, really lucky, and I found a distributor who had a more entrepreneurial and refreshing approach to things and saw the future and saw the opportunity in what I was doing with the brand and with the product and the fact that this was an amazing product that just was not out there anywhere to be had. So there was lots of opportunity. And he took us on and we learned a lot very, very quickly. I mean, we learned that you have to have certain types of barcodes in order to be able to sell to anyone in that line of business. If they were not GS1 certified barcodes, there's nothing you could do. You couldn't even get into the system. We learned about listing fees, which is something that can be a very, very hard wake-up call for any manufacturer trying to break into mainstream grocery, because you need to factor these costs into your margins. You need to factor programs and promotions that retailers need, you know, for the brand to become successful on their shelf. You have to go on sale several times a year. And those were all some really interesting lessons that I we learned in order, you know, how to see how these companies function, how they operate. So there is really no recipe for success. You could have the best product. Your product could even be performing very well on the grocery store shelf, but it doesn't mean that it is there to stay. But you could still end up with a new buyer on the desk in 2 years that would look at some numbers and things that we should make a change, and the product could, you know, be out again. So it is, it's a very different business. It's not an easy business. I mean, it can be rewarding, but getting into it, I would advise to really be, you know, be eyes wide open and do the homework when it comes to margins.
Going back to that interview with Lipton's CEO, Natalie Roos said, quote, "A lot of value has been destroyed in tea. Before we started, the average tea bag price was 2 pence, which is ridiculous." She then asked rhetorically, "With this money, how can we increase retailers' margins? How can we increase and grow the category?" In some lines, Lipton has since achieved an average of 6 pence per tea bag. There's an ongoing conversation in the tea industry about retailers hoarding too much value and driving down prices in a race to the bottom. Is that your sense of what is happening on the grocery shelf?
No, I wouldn't say we're racing to the bottom. I think there is a lot of interest in, you know, better quality products, but It is a tough business. And I mean, when you're talking about companies like Lipton, and the volume and the buying power and the powers of persuasion that they have in a grocery segment is obviously worlds apart from what we might have in terms of being able to support a brand, having listing fees, having funds for promotions and things like that. So I don't think that retailers are pushing for a lower cost product at all costs. They certainly are not inviting, you know, price increases, which, you know, I can understand. Everybody needs to make their margin. But we do see higher quality products coming to the shelf and we have been seeing that over the last, you know, 5 to 8 years or so. And I do hope that this trend continues. Well, I think that this trend will continue, and because everything on the store level essentially is driven by the consumer. And that is what we have to understand. And that really essentially is the person who holds the buying power. That is the person who decides which grocery store to shop at and who to give their money to decide, you know, if a product is overpriced in one, I might not purchase it here. I might purchase it somewhere else, or I might purchase a different product. So I wouldn't say that retailers are out to, you know, drive down the quality of the product. I don't think that's the case at all. Has it become difficult and have retailers put stops on price increases, for example? Yes, that absolutely, that happens. There are companies out there that find themselves with increased cost in raw material, but are not able to pass those on to retailers. That for sure, that has happened, right? But I wouldn't paint the retailers now, you know, in the corner and say that they are driving down the market. No.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
When you need need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.